Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to take them once again and turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're going to be picking up this morning where we left off last Sunday. For those of you who were here, you know that we began a two-part study on this subject. Why was Mary chosen? Why was Mary chosen? The Bible tells us that Mary found great favor with God. And we're asking the question, why? For what reason? We understand that when God was ready to send his son, Jesus, into the world, he could have selected any young virgin woman that he wanted to. And we rather suspect, because God knew the awesomeness, the difficulty of the task, that God would be very selective. Maybe just downright choosy when it came to selecting who would be the earthly mother of his son, Jesus. I'm sure that God was quite particular, and he chose Mary. We're not going to read the entire passage of scripture that we read last week, but let me just point out to you a couple of verses from our reading last Sunday. First of all, in Luke 1 and verse number 28, it says, "The angel went to her," her being Mary, "and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored,'" highly favored, "'the Lord is with you.'" And then just a couple verses later, verse number 30, "The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God.'" You have found favor with God. So you know, if you were here last Sunday, that we're doing two things in this teaching. We've got two goals in this study. The first goal is to look at possible reasons that Mary found favor with God. What caused her to meet with his approval? You understand that the Bible does not give us a list. There is no verse that we can turn to where God says, "I selected Mary, and here's the reasons why." 1, 2, 3, 4. We don't have that. So what we have to do is we take a step back from the word, and we begin to look at and consider possible things that we see revealed in Scripture about her character, her nature, her temperament. We look at these attributes and we say, this is probably one that caught God's attention. However, if that's all we did in this study, all we would have then would be a history lesson. So our second goal in this study is to ask ourselves a question, to look at ourselves and ask if God finds these same qualities in us today that he saw in Mary back then. Because if there are character qualities that God found in her that cause her to be so pleasing unto him, then it would stand to reason that if God finds those same qualities in us today, it will enable us to be pleasing in his sight, for us to find favor with him. So that's what we're doing. We're first of all examining Mary, but then we're examining ourselves. And that's exactly what the Word of God tells us to do. Lamentations 3:40, 1 Corinthians 11:38, 2 Corinthians 13:5, all those three verses tell us to examine ourselves. Examine ourselves. And James 1:25 tells us to examine ourselves in the light of God's word by looking into the mirror of God's word. So before we review the three qualities we talked about last Sunday and then take a step further today, let's pray and ask God to bless our time in his word. Father, thank you for this opportunity now to study. I pray, God, that you would teach us again today, afresh and anew, from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We considered three character qualities of Mary last Sunday morning. The first one we talked about was that Mary had a servant's heart. If you've got your Bible open there to Luke chapter 1, you can still look right down there at the verse of scripture that we referenced last week. It's in chapter 1 and verse number 38, where Mary said, when the angel was speaking to her, Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. She was yielded. She was surrendered. She was available and willing to do for God whatever he desired. Now, we're not going to explore each one of these to the depth that we did last week, these first three. I would simply say God is still looking for people today who will have a servant heart. And we discussed the fact that there are really, very frequently, there are more people in the church today who are interested in how God can serve them rather than how they can serve him. Just think about our own prayer lives. How often do we find ourselves asking God for something? Will you take care of my family? Will you provide for our needs? Will you heal me when I'm sick? And better yet, will you keep me from getting sick? And will you answer this prayer? And will you give me this guidance? And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with asking God for those things. I'm simply saying in proportion, in ratio, how often do we stop and say, all right, God, I've asked you to do all these things for me. What can I do for you? That would characterize a servant heart, where we are looking for what we can do for God, not just wanting something else from him. Now, the second thing we considered last week was that Mary had a trusting heart. As a matter of fact, in that very same verse, verse number 38, where she said, I am your servant, it goes on to say, may it be to me as you have said. She fully trusted God. We talked about last week that she probably didn't understand what the road ahead of her was going to be like. The kind of pain that she would be experiencing, the hardship, the difficult days that would be ahead for her. But yet she trusted in the Lord, trusted him fully and completely. God still looks for people today who will trust him entirely. We looked at about five or six passages of scripture on trusting the Lord. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. The third character quality that we talked about last week with Mary is this. Mary had a responsive heart. There were things that she needed to do immediately. In fact, we look there in that same passage of scripture in verse number 39, we read these words, Mary, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. She was going to see her relative, Elizabeth, who herself was pregnant with a child, and that child would turn out to be the one we refer to as John the Baptist. But what I was pointing out to you from verse number 39 is several key things. At that time, Mary didn't put it off. She said, God's wanting me to respond right now, right here. Mary got ready, and then the most significant word, hurried. She hurried to the town. She said, God, I want to be about your business. I know what you want me to do. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it right now. God still looks for those people who are quick to obey. Quick to obey. And we asked the question last week, is there anything that any of us are putting off? Anything that we are putting off? We know that God has told us to do it. For instance, maybe there's someone that God has already spoken to you about witnessing to. God wants you to speak to a coworker, or God wants you to speak to your neighbor. And you know he has. And you fully intend to do it someday, pretty soon, maybe, when it's easier, more convenient. You know, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 23, verse 21, if you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. If we've told God that we're going to do something, don't get into the habit of putting it off, whatever it may be. As a matter of fact, the longer we put anything off that we know we're supposed to do, the harder it gets, not easier. We may be waiting, saying, it'll be more convenient later. I'll wait till the circumstances change. It'll get harder. As a matter of fact, I will say this also. The longer we put anything off, the chances increase that we will actually never get around to doing it. If we can find a reason to put it off for one day, we can find a reason to put it off for 1 week. If we find a reason to put it off for 1 week, we'll put it off for a month. If we can put it off for a month, we'll put it off for a year. And for some reason, we just keep putting it off. So those were the three character qualities that we talked about with Mary last week. Remember, we're confining ourselves just to looking at those verses of Scripture about Mary that relate to this season, the time period of Jesus' birth. We said, well, we could look at lots of passages of Scripture concerning Mary. I talked about the wedding in Cana when the bride and groom were running out of wine, and Mary went to Jesus and said, Jesus, they're running out of wine. Well, that showed her sensitive heart. And Jesus said, well, Mary, it's Mom, it's not really time. And Mary immediately turned to servants and said, you do whatever he tells you to do. Well, that was Mary's bold heart. By the way, after service was over, somebody came to me who had been really paying attention. And they said, I noticed, Pastor, that all three character qualities that we looked at with Mary had to do with her heart. And you are correct. We talked about a servant's heart, a trusting heart, a responsive heart. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible tells us that's what God was looking for. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Do you know, it didn't matter to God at all what Mary may have looked like physically, whether she was attractive, outward appearance. That didn't matter. He was looking for a person with the right heart. It didn't matter whether Mary would have been able to bake a ham for the Christmas dinner next Sunday or not. As a matter of fact, she probably hadn't baked a ham in her entire life since she was Jewish. But that didn't matter what she could do or not do. He was looking at her heart. And the same thing is true today. When God is looking at our lives, he's not looking at anything other than your heart and my heart. That's his focus. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Why is God focused on our heart? Because he knows our heart will control, dictate, influence everything else about our life. So let's pick up and complete the teaching here today by focusing on this. Mary had a believing heart. Had a believing heart. I want to pick up right there. You still got your Bible open in Luke chapter 1. And we left Mary last week as she was hurrying off to Judea, verse number 39. So why don't we begin right there? And I want us to read down through verse number 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped. This would have been John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of our Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." So what do we have going on here? We've got Mary arriving at the home of Elizabeth, and when she said, "Hi, Elizabeth," suddenly, John the Baptist, to be, stirred, leaped within Elizabeth's body, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she begins to prophesy. She's speaking words that weren't of her own knowledge or intellect. She didn't know what was going on with Mary's life, except the Holy Spirit began to speak through her. And what I want to point out to you in verse number 45 is the fourth character quality that Mary possessed. She had a believing heart. Luke 1:45, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." She believed it. God still looks for people today who will live by faith. God looks for faith in our lives just as he looked for someone who would have faith and believe what he would say, even though it would seem impossible. We read last week that Mary's initial reaction was, "Whoa, how can this be?" when the angel said, "You're going to have a child. I'm a virgin. It can't be." That moment would be the only moment that we would see Mary not confessing trust, faith, belief, and confidence in what God was doing in and through her. From that point on, she never doubted or questioned again. God still looks for that kind of faith in us. Faith is first of all demonstrated in our lives when we put our faith and we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 31, you know it well. "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." And then our faith continues, our belief in God continues when we believe that this book is his word, his instruction for us, and we follow it, we live by it. Paul was talking to the believers in Thessalonica when he said, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "We thank God also continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God." He said, "Good job. You believed. You had faith in what we were teaching you." And of course, having faith and believing continues through every dimension of our lives. Right quick, Bonnie. Here's some verses. Romans 1:17, we live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith. 1 John 5:4, we overcome by faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If anybody's trying to write those down and you didn't get them, come see me afterwards, and I'll make sure you've got them. But how does this apply in our lives? I mean, living by faith, walking by faith, that's too broad of a subject. Let's zero right in on the kind of faith, the way Mary demonstrated her faith when the angel came to her. So I would ask this question: is there anything God has spoken to your heart at some point in the past? Anything that you felt like God told you he was going to do? Hasn't happened yet, but you knew it. It was just something. It was so strong. I don't know if it was a still small voice in your heart. I don't know if God spoke to you in some other way through a gift of the Spirit, but there was just some way that God spoke something into your heart and you believed it. But maybe over the passage of time, your faith has begun to kind of waver or weaken. And now you're wondering, was that really God that I was hearing? Or was I confused? Was that really his voice? Or was it the pepperoni pizza I had the night before? What? I mean, maybe you're confused. Or maybe you've come to a point now where you doubt. And maybe the Holy Spirit, even here in this service this morning, might even be encouraging you. Recapture that faith, that belief in what you believe God spoke to you. Maybe it was something many years ago. Maybe it was something more recent in time. And God is looking for the same kind of faith in us that he found in Mary, who said, I believe it. And Elizabeth said, blessed are you because you believed God would do what he said he was going to do. You know, I talked about this in our Saturday night prayer service, not last night, but a week ago. I said it's kind of interesting that in the scripture there are not many questions left unanswered. I'm thankful that God's word is not a book of questions, it's a book of answers. If you're thankful for that, say amen. It's a book of answers. But there is at least one very prominent question in the scripture that is not answered. It's also found in the book of Luke. I'm going to put it on the screen for you. Luke 18, verse number 8 says, when the Son of Man comes, that's talking about when Jesus returns, will he find faith on the earth? And when I typed it, I can see I failed to put the question mark at the end. There's a period. That's my own fingers that are at fault, not the Word of God. Why is that question not answered? I'll tell you why, because we are the answer. When the Lord returns, and he may be returning soon, we don't know. But when the Lord returns, will he find faith? Will he find people of faith, just like he found in Mary? Will he find faith on the earth? Well, he either will, because he finds it in us, or he won't, because he fails to find it in us. I don't know about you, but my desire is, God, I want you to find faith in me. I want that. I do. So let's move on and talk about the fact that Mary had a worshiping heart. Mary had a worshiping heart. Take your Bible again, and let's start right at verse number 45, where we just left off. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now, if we were to continue reading the next few verses, we would be reading Mary's song of praise unto God. She went into a song, singing praise unto God. Mary was quick to give him glory. Elizabeth seemed to imply, there's something great about you, Mary. Mary said, no. It's all about him. It's all about him. Are you tracking with me? Mary was quick to turn the attention off of her and on to God. She loved to worship God, and she wanted to make sure that he received the praise, not her. Well, let me just say that God still looks today for those who will worship him and who will give him praise, just like Mary did. Not because he has an ego that needs to be stroked, but because he knows that good things will come to those who will worship him. And if that sounds at all familiar to you, it should. On the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we talked about the personal blessings and benefits that will come to people who will worship and give praise to God, give thanks to God. So we can't go over that again, but God wants us to worship him not for his good, but for our good. He's looking for people who will give him praise. Jesus was having a conversation with a woman at the well one day, and he said, the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. And the Bible says in Hebrews that we ought to be bringing to him the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise unto God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And, you know, you might be saying, well, I just let my life speak for the Lord. And that's good. I'm glad you do. But the Bible specifically says the kind of praise that God is looking for is the fruit of our lips, the words that we would speak that give him honor and glory. Mary found favor with God because she loved to worship him. There's another individual that the scripture says found favor with God. His name is David. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 22 that David was a man after God's own heart. And there are many different theories as to why God said that about David. But one certainly has to be that David was a worshiper. He loved to give God glory and praise. All I can say is this: if my worship brings delight to God, then I want to worship him. If my worship is something that will please him, if worship is something that God is seeking for, then I want him to receive it from me. If being a worshiper brings me into God's favor, then that is what I will do, gladly. Amen. This next one, number six, two more to go. I tried to figure out the right word to describe it. So, I put a word on there that I'm not altogether satisfied with. You can think about it. Maybe you come up with a better idea. I'm willing to hear it after service, not right now. But if you've got a better idea than this, share it with me. I struggled. But I put it this way: Mary had a contemplative heart. A contemplative heart. You'll need to turn into Luke chapter 2, one page over, one chapter over, whatever you need to do in your Bible. And the setting for this verse that I'm going to draw your attention to is after Jesus had been born. They were still there in the stable. Jesus was lying in the manger. We still have part of our props from last Sunday night here. The shepherds had come and visited Mary and Joseph and the babe. They found him exactly angels had said, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then we read this. After the shepherds had been there, Luke 2, 17 through 19. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Now, verse number 19. We read these words. It's on the screen for you. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Pondered them in her heart. Two very important words there. First of all, she treasured the things that she had heard. I'm sure all the way back to the message that the angel gave her, Gabriel, to now what the shepherds are saying to her. And after a short time when the wise men come, she treasured that. The word treasure, the Greek word from which it is translated, means of great worth or value. But it also means something to be guarded or protected. This is telling us that Mary did not take these things lightly. She was very serious-minded. She was in awe. She was gripped with the magnitude of the situation. And the second thing that Mary did beside treasure these things, the Bible tells us here, she pondered them. Pondered them in her heart. What is that word? That is a word we don't hear very much anymore. The Greek word that is translated ponder here means to think deeply about, to meditate upon, or to study. What does this tell us about Mary? It tells us that Mary took these things very, very seriously. She did not treat lightly the things of God. It wasn't something to be taken casually. She was very deliberate and thoughtful. And what does this mean in our lives today? I believe the person today, even in this room right here, right now, who finds favor with God is not the person who treats the things of God as a light matter, or takes their salvation for granted, or has a casual perspective on their walk with God. The person who finds favor with God today takes their relationship with him very seriously. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us how seriously should we take our relationship with God. It should be the most important thing in our life. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And Mark chapter 12 and verse number 30 says that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. God is still looking for people today who will take this relationship with him more serious than anything else. We will have a contemplative heart.
Matthew 18:3 should go on there.
Mary had an obedient heart. An obedient heart. This is the final attribute that we'll talk about and look at. Got your Bible still? Staying right in Luke chapter 2. We know that the shepherds came and went, and we know that Jesus would be presented unto the Lord for circumcision. That's in verse number 21. I want to begin reading at verse number 22. It said, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Can we zero in on that verse for just a moment? Verse number 24, Luke 2:24. To offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. Would you think about something with me? Mary and Joseph, they maybe did not fully understand the significance of this child that they have brought into the world. They knew that Israel was looking for a Messiah. They knew that they had just brought into the world the Son of God. But they maybe did not understand that he would one day free man from trying to please God by keeping the law. And so they, to the best of their ability, were still being obedient by doing what the law of the Lord required. In fact, if you look down in that chapter a little bit more, verse number 39, it said, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord. Let me just say, an obedient heart doesn't have this desire to do some of what God expects. Not even a good percentage of what God expects. A truly obedient heart says, God, I want to do all that you're looking for in me. Everything. I want to be obedient, not in most aspects, but in all aspects. Not in some measure, but in full measure, I want to be obedient. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. And if you looked, we don't have time to read on down in the chapter, but the very next paragraph there, starting at verse number 42, you'll read this, that every year his parents, Mary and Joseph, went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. What are we seeing in these passages of Scripture, in these verses that are on the screen in front of you right now? We are seeing a pattern of obedience and faithfulness in Mary and in Joseph. It's their habit. We will obey. They didn't cut any corners. They didn't give themselves any slack. They could have said, hey, man, we're bringing into the world the one that will set us free from the law. No. They chose to walk in obedience, complete compliance with God's expectations for them. How does this apply in our lives? Here it is. It's just plain and simple. We cannot please God apart from obedience in our lives. We cannot. It doesn't matter if we're a good worshiper and we're not obedient. It doesn't matter if we come to church quite often, but we're not obedient. There is nothing else that can substitute for obedience. We cannot find favor with God. We cannot meet with his approval. We will not have his blessing apart from obedience in our lives. Someone might say, don't. Sound so old-fashioned. Don't be so rigid. And man, you're sounding legalistic, Pastor. I'm only able to say what Jesus himself said. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 7, verse 21. This is a good example of it. He said very plainly, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What's he saying? The one who's obedient. The one who's obedient. Give you some of the other examples. Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? This was Jesus speaking. And do not do what I say. It's obedience whereby we find favor in God's sight. Matthew 15:8, he said, these people honor me with their lips. In other words, they might stand and sing, Christ is enough for me. But unless we have an obedient heart, whereby we walk the walk that he's called us to, if we say we love him, then we must live the way he lived. The Bible says in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And Jesus expanded on that later in the same chapter, verse 23 and 24. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. God is very clear on this matter. The seventh quality that he found in Mary that we're talking about was she had an obedient heart. And God looks for us to have an obedient heart as well. Obedience or the lack of it will influence his blessing upon our lives. Obedience or the lack of it will influence our prayers being answered. Obedience or the lack of it will influence our physical health, our financial provision. Obedience or the lack of it will determine how much of God's peace and joy that we have in our lives. Obedience will ultimately influence our eternal destiny. When God looked down out of heaven, he saw at least seven character qualities in Mary that cause her to be the one who found favor in his sight. So as we reflect upon these four that we've covered today, why was Mary chosen? She had a believing heart. And I would just encourage you, if there's something that God has spoken to you that you've kind of let go of, lost sight of, the Holy Spirit will remind you of what that is. Lay hold of it. Believe it once again. Be a person of faith, confidence that God will do what he says he will do. Secondarily, we talked about that she had a worshiping heart. I would say, God wants to grow each and every one of us into more effective worshipers, allowing it to spring from within our very being, praise and honor unto him. And Mary had a contemplative heart. She was very serious about what was going on. She treasured these things. She thought about them deeply. And God is looking for us to have a serious perspective on our walk with him. Most important thing in our life. And God looks for us to have an obedient heart. That's his desire. Father, thank you for what you're speaking.